Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. You know, President Ronald Reagan said, quote, "It's up to us in our time to choose and choose wisely between the hard but necessary task of preserving peace and freedom and the temptation to ignore our duty and blindly hope for the best while the enemies of freedom grow stronger every day." We'd better heed these wise words. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is, of course, Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, what's your family been doing this summer? I suspect you've been outdoors a lot.
Oh, yeah. Great weather. It's been fantastic. It's been great for my garden. But my family and I, Sarah and the three kids, we have been doing a lot of swimming lately. We all have, you know, mask fins, snorkel, wetsuits, and we've been going down to the local lake. And boy, sometimes we'll like just swim around the lake for like, you know, a whole hour. And I got to tell you, my 65-year-old Marine Corps back is a little bit sore, but it could be worse.
Yeah. And the good thing about swimming in a lake is I don't think you have to worry about sharks, do you?
No sharks. As long as you don't get run over by a motorboat, you're fine, Colonel.
Okay. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss all the things that are going on in other nations around the world. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Former Air Force Chaplain Jonathan Dobbs will then discuss his time in service and the Committee to Support and Defend. Then, shock of shocks, co-host Skip Coriel will come back on and introduce his latest book, Self-Defense Scenarios. And we'll meet National Guard Brigadier General Gary Ropers. And finally, retired General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. This month, it's Gettysburg.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. First, the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, here's a declaration by some real scientists. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the proposed SEC requiring disclosures of climate-related risk caused by fossil fuels and CO2. We are career physicists who have specialized in radiation physics and dynamic heat transfer for decades. In our opinion, science demonstrates that there is no climate-related risk caused by fossil fuels and CO2 and no climate emergency. Further, nowhere in the more than 500 pages of the proposed rule is there any reliable scientific evidence that there exists a climate-related risk. None. It refers to the International Panel on Climate Change, the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, and other outside groups, but never provides any reliable scientific evidence that supports the rule. The science is just assumed. Therefore, there is no reliable scientific basis for the proposed SEC rule. Further, contrary to what is commonly reported, CO2 is essential to life on Earth. Without CO2, there would be no photosynthesis and thus no plant food and not enough oxygen to breathe. Moreover, without fossil fuels, there will be no low-cost energy worldwide and less CO2 for photosynthesis making food. Eliminating fossil fuels and reducing CO2 emissions will be disastrous for the poor people worldwide, future generations, and the country. Finally, the cost of the proposed rule is enormous and would have no public benefit. It would increase the reporting burden to companies $6.4 billion. Thus, the rule must not be adopted or, if adopted, ruled invalid by the courts.
What a surprise. Those who think that CO2 destroys our planet have been avoiding science that shows they're wrong. The attempt at restricting fossil fuels is not only not good for our world, it's bad for it. And yes, our military will hurt badly by these goofy new rules.
For months, our Army has claimed that only a tiny fraction of service members remain unvaccinated. Last March, the Army claimed that just 4%, or about 8,000 soldiers, hadn't been vaccinated. But according to internal Army documents shared by a whistleblower, over 120,000 soldiers remain unvaccinated in the Army alone. The leaked documents state that our president's demand to get the shot or be kicked out of the service is seriously jeopardizing military readiness. In the Army National Guard alone, the Army report states, projected losses could drive the Army National Guard below 70% available strength. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have been injured or killed by the experimental COVID drugs, which skipped 7 to 10 years of safety testing. Meanwhile, our Pentagon is implementing policies to permit HIV-positive and transgender service members undergoing dangerous surgeries to remain in the service while discriminating against members who refuse the COVID shots for religious or other reasons.
It's clear that the senior leaders in our nation, both civilian and those in uniform, don't care about combat readiness in our military. Their major goal in life seems to be being woke.
The U.S.-Mexico border has become the world's deadliest land crossing, according to data recently brought to light by a United Nations study. A historic high of 728 recorded immigrant deaths and disappearances along the border crossing in 2021 has made the land crossing the deadliest in the world, according to the study conducted by the United Nations Agency, the International Organization for Migration, IOM. These deaths accounted for the majority of the 1,238 immigrant deaths in the Americas in 2021, the IOM said, adding that these numbers should be considered an undercount due to difficulties in collecting data. The study attributed the deaths and disappearance of immigrants in the Americas to a lack of options for safe and regular mobility, saying that this would drive migrants, presumably those choosing to enter as illegal aliens, to pursue riskier, dangerous pathways. They also noted the discovery of 53 bodies in a tractor trailer packed with 67 illegal immigrants in San Antonio on June 27. The record deaths came as Customs and Border Protection agents reported a record number of apprehensions along the southern border. Border Patrol agents from Brownsville, Texas to San Diego apprehended nearly 250,000 illegals in May, the highest monthly total in 23 years. In the same month, 79 illegal immigrants were found dead or died while crossing the border. Quote, when that many people come across the border, it's just a matter of math. You increase those that come across the border. You increase those that put themselves into the hands of the criminal cartels. You are certainly going to increase the deaths at the border, Tom Homan, former head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, told the Epoch Times in June. Since Biden took office in January 2021, border authorities have apprehended over 3.2 million illegal border crossers. An additional 800,000 or so have been detected but evaded capture.
So our nation is being invaded, literally invaded, across our southern border. The state of Texas has formally declared that they're being invaded. We need to use every vehicle available to stop this invasion and deport the invaders. Why doesn't anyone in our federal government care?
The British Royal Navy announced on July 7th that it seized hundreds of Iranian-built cruise missiles from smuggler speedboats in two different incidents. The operations took place in international waters off Iran earlier in the year. Weapons confiscated would have violated UN Security Council Resolution 2216. It marked the first time the UK had intercepted such advanced artillery from Iran. The Navy explained the seizures happened on January 28 and February 25. A radar system scan from the HMS Montrose's helicopter picked up the smugglers during an illegal goods check on vessels in the area. The boats were moving away from Iran's coast at speed when officials intercepted them. The U.S. supported the British Navy during the February interception.
Iran is a nation with clearly evil leadership. Why is our government seeking to help them get nuclear weapons or help them in any way? And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved and getting our nation back on track, even if you're not a veteran. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Air Force veteran John Dobbs about the Committee to Support and Defend. At ease, troops, take a break. Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less than lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. There's a lot going on in the world, and most of it will definitely impact our nation. Hopefully, we can deal with it with some wisdom. Okay, world leaders meeting at the 2022 NATO summit in Madrid, Spain, decided to update the strategic concept, what has not had a refresh since 2010. They added concerns about Russia and China, focusing on the threat posed by China's recent aggression and support of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. NATO leaders believe Russia is growing too strong and has no regard for the global community. Well, I sure agree with that. NATO named China a strategic priority for the first time. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stated that the nation is building nuclear weapon stockpiles without proper oversight or transparency and failing to engage in good faith practices. At the same time, the country is reportedly increasing its military forces and acting aggressively toward Taiwan. There are also concerns about China's treatment of its citizens, Stoltenberg said. The government controls individuals with technology. In addition, he addressed the country's relationship with Russia. So far, China has refused to denounce the Kremlin's aggression in Ukraine. He said China is helping Russia to spread misinformation about the conflict. Stoltenberg said NATO has to work on building security against the Chinese and ensure that there are consequences to actions that threaten members. He asserted that China is not an enemy, but that it poses challenges to NATO. Hey, I disagree. China is an enemy. Look at what they're doing in our nation right now. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese warned that the relationship between China and Russia is a security threat to the Allies. Meanwhile, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern urged diplomacy in dealing with China, but recognizes the dangers that the country poses as it becomes more assertive. UK Foreign Secretary Liz Truss spoke at another event where she said that it was important for China to be kept in check, lest it get the wrong idea from Russia's war on Ukraine. She's concerned the conflict will push them to make a move against Taiwan. Yep. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian accused NATO of having Cold War mentality and promoting aggression towards the nation. He said NATO's distorting the truth and being irresponsible with its messages. He's full of BS, but what else could he say? The summit included non-member nations in parts of Europe and Indo-Pacific that expressed concerns about Russia and China this year, including leaders from Japan, Ukraine, South Korea, and Australia. While the summit attendees agreed Russia still poses the most pressing current threat, China is high on the list of concerns. The partnering of the two nations is drawing extreme criticism and requires continued monitoring. Still, the leaders don't want to alienate China. During all this, Sweden and Finland took another step towards joining NATO after the alliance formally signed off on their membership bids and set the stage to bring the long neutral Nordic nations into the fold within a matter of months. But NATO's rapid decision to welcome two new members, a move driven by Moscow's invasion of Ukraine and fears that war could spread throughout Europe, also carries a host of unanswered questions, including, get this, how big a financial tab the U.S. will be expected to pick up in order to secure Finland's 833-mile border with Russia. Why us? We're broke, you know. Those questions will be debated in capitals of NATO nations over the coming weeks. All 30 countries must sign off on the membership approval process, though that's expected to be just a formality for the majority of countries. The expansion effort could, however, hit a roadblock in Turkey, where there remain misgivings about Sweden's and Finland's commitment to crack down on Kurdish rebel groups that Ankara consider terrorists. Quote, "This is truly a historic moment for Finland, for Sweden, and for NATO," said NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg. "We will be even stronger, and our people will be even safer as we face the biggest security crisis in decades," referring to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the potential for the conflict to spill over into NATO soil. Moscow already issued not-so-subtle threats towards both Finland and Sweden in an effort to scare them away from joining NATO. It's also possible the Kremlin could take dramatic steps, such as further restricting natural gas shipments to Europe as winter approaches, in order to push back on NATO's expansion and to flex its economic muscle in the region. Hey, why would anyone with any sense allow themselves to be energy dependent on an evil nation? Oh, not like we are. There will surely be some pushback about committing additional American resources to defend Europe from potential Russian aggression. President Biden will face increasingly tough questions from Republicans and other critics who are already skeptical about the administration's recent decision to send more troops and military equipment to the region. Quote, "Why is Biden sending more troops and planes to Europe instead of the Pacific?" Senator Marco Rubio asked. "Russia's military is in no condition to invade anyone else right now, and it's China and North Korea who are threatening military aggression," Rubio said, echoing a growing chorus of critics who believe we must send military resources to the Pacific, not Europe. And Rubio is right. Maybe Europe, a wealthy place, should spend more of their own on defense against enemies? And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, next week is one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. Starting on Monday, July 25th, Oshkosh, Wisconsin becomes the busiest airport in the world while hosting the Experimental Aircraft Association Convention and air show called Air Venture. This year at Oshkosh is unique with a number of special aerial events, ranging from military demo teams to displays from airliners and anniversary formations of home-built aircraft. Every day, there's a special feature during the afternoon air show that makes the week unforgettable, along with the unexpected surprises that create those only at Oshkosh moments. You know, like when the Blue Angels did a surprise pass just before the Thunderbirds were to start their show a couple years ago. This is also the 75th anniversary of the U.S. Air Force, and Oshkosh will be showcasing the Air Force from its initial post-war World War II era to the personnel and aircraft of today. Here are some of the military aircraft that are scheduled to fly at Oshkosh next week. The U.S. Marines Corps MV-22 Osprey. The U.S. Air Force's C-17 Globemaster, showing off its capabilities of the U.S. Air Force's Air Mobility Command. The U-2, which is always cool. And the Air Force Special Operations Command. Navy E-2D Hawkeye will be doing a demo, and then one of the crowd favorites is backed with the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force's Legacy Flights, which will include at least an EA-18 Growler, an F-35, and a number of vintage warbirds. Now, speaking of vintage warbirds, if you come to Oshkosh, you'll be able to see a gathering of the most vintage warplanes of anywhere in the entire world. I'm talking like 400 to 500 vintage warbirds. And every day, they have a number of programs highlighting different aircraft with the owners and pilots talking about them and their stories. You can see the T-6 Texan, Chipmunk, a T-28 Trojan, P-51s, Stearman's, F-4 Corsair, B-17s, B-25s, Tiger Cats, Bearcats, even a Vietnam-era M-17 and an F-100 Super Saver. And many of these same aircraft, they'll be flying during the air shows throughout the week. Some of the other interesting flying demonstrations are a Delta Airlines Airbus A330, a United Airlines Boeing 777, and even some cutting-edge electrical vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. And then one of the other real favorite ones is the Aeroshow Aerobatic Flying Team. They fly T-6 Texans and do a great show for both the daytime and nighttime air shows. Retired Army Colonel Steve Kenyon and I will be flying in and camping next to the aircraft and should come back with some great interviews for future shows. We'll be camping in the vintage area, so if you're interested in meeting up during the week and watching the air show, send me an email to Roland, that's R-O-L-A-N-D, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, or go to the webpage and hit the Contact Us button. Hopefully we'll see you next week. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the Committee to Support and Defend with Jonathan Dobbs, Then we'll learn about co-host Skip Coriel's new book, Self-Defense Scenarios. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. And troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show former Air Force Chaplain Jonathan Dobbs. You may or may not have noticed that our military really harasses the troops for about little things, you know, like COVID shots and religious freedom. And John has faced this environment. He now leads an amazing group, the Committee to Support and Defend. Welcome, John.
Thank you. I really appreciate you making the time to make this possible. And thank you for just all those who are listening. Just have care about these things in our armed forces. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, John, as you know very well, our military right now is a mess. Whatever it is we're focused on, it's not combat readiness. And that's the opposite of where Russia and China are. But before we get into that, start by telling us your story of your time in uniform. When and why did you join and what'd you do?
Okay, sure. Thank you. So I grew up in Georgia and my father was an E6 in the Navy Reserves. He was in during the Vietnam era. And spent his time, I think he spent 2 or 3 years on active duty, and then was in the reserves as a radarman. As a typical American kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school, didn't have plans, didn't have grades enough to go straight into university. And so he just recommended I check out the military. So in 1998, I started looking, and then 98, I joined the Air Force National Guard, and they trained me to be an aircraft mechanic on F-16s. I was a crew chief on F-16s and did that for 2 or 3 years and really enjoyed it. And I had an opportunity to get a commission at the University of Georgia, and they kind of bought out my contract, and I went up to Georgia. I was kind of in an inactive status for about a year and a half, 2 years. As a ROTC cadet, and then I came back on active duty in 2002. So that's kind of when I commissioned, and I did that for 6.5 years as an aircraft maintenance officer, leading people deploying aircraft all over the world.
Okay. So you saw both sides of the military, officer and enlisted, and surprisingly enough, they let you as an officer use some of the skills you developed as an enlisted man. The military doesn't do that very often, do they?
Well, it really depends on timing is everything, right? And then also the needs of the Air Force, as you've experienced in the Army, I think. And so it just happened that they grabbed that slot, and I was transition from aircraft maintenance, being a doer on the flight line, and then becoming an overseer, if that makes sense. And it just helped a lot because there are a few, and the Army's different in this way. The Air Force obviously leadership is a big deal, but you don't get to lead large numbers of men and women and deploy that way unless you're in certain career fields, and aircraft maintenance is one of those career fields.
So that's great. You ran into a problem with COVID shots. When and how did that happen?
So I'll tell you a little more about my story. So I transitioned out of the active duty Air Force and went into the reserves in 2008, transitioned to seminary. And as I was an aircraft maintenance officer, once a month, weekend warrior, I was going to seminary with my kids and family. And then the end of 2010, I finished the book, Schoolhouse Knowledge of Seminary. Then I went overseas. My first assignment was a missionary in India. I was over there with my family doing church planting for 3 years, and then transitioned back to the States. It was time to graduate, and I was a missions pastor at a church for 2 years. And then we transitioned to South Florida, where I currently live now, for 3 years as a church planter and as a missionary. And so I was really focused on other stuff, as you can see. I was really, for about 9 years, 8 years, I was not thinking military at all. I was literally going back and forth across Asia. But an opportunity opened up in 2017 timeframe where I was able to come back into the Air Force Reserves as a chaplain. Had a great experience in search and rescue. It was really wonderful, but that brought me back on active duty in 2019 as a chaplain. And I had no idea about the whole vaccine mandate until COVID happened. And it was just a really weird season where we were trying to do ministry and work through computers and without being around people in large numbers. And you can imagine that's hard to do.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
And so as we were kind of doing that, we found a way to do that well. I just did it old school by grabbing alpha rosters and connecting with troops, you know, making sure they were doing okay because people still struggle and go through hard things, you know, no matter whether COVID's there or not.
Yep.
Then I got this really weird thing happened. I'd only been on base for 2 years and I got orders. And so when I got orders in February of last year, which would have been 2021, and we're still finishing up this COVID thing, it was about the time that the vaccines started to come to market, you might remember. And so we didn't know a whole lot about those. And so I was accepting orders, really not knowing anything about what was going on. And from the time frame from, say, a month before that, January to August, that's when the mandates kicked in.
And suddenly you were under some pressure.
I was. I transitioned to be kind of like an installation chaplain at Pope Army Airfield. And that was, as an Air Force officer, I was taking care of everybody at the Fort Bragg. It was the Pope side, the Air Force side. We were supporting the 82nd Airborne. You know, we're trying to take care of them and help them in any way we can. I was having to work with Army chaplains and their teams. We were in their chapel. I mean, it was a great experience. I was really excited about it. But the hard part was I noticed as I came into the role that the Air Force had totally changed their regulation a year before, and they had a totally new process for COVID that was very different from, say, getting an exemption for something like the flu shot, which had been approved in times past. But that was a long, convoluted, these are Navy words, but 60-step process to try to get an approved, you know, religious accommodation. And so it felt off. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It sure does.
And so as I was struggling through, I was having to daily do chaplain interviews for people who were seeking accommodation. I myself was having to go through this same process. So if I had to go to a school or if I had to do anything, they had to ask me, hey, are you vaccinated? We need you to take a COVID test, even though you're not sick. Just treating you like you had the plague just because, you know, you didn't want to take the vaccine. And I just I thought about taking the vaccine, as many people might have in the early days, but nothing, it just didn't make any sense to me personally, because I'd already had COVID and I was over it, you know? And so the more I learned about the vaccines, I found out there were things that could hurt you, and adverse events and other things. And it just didn't make sense for me. But as I learned more about how these vaccines were made, I just personally, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, felt like, you know, this really goes against what I believe. And so as I struggled through that, what I found was the Air Force was following an unconstitutional process. And I found that I personally needed to make a stand against that. So I actually asked my endorser to pull my endorsement, and that jettisoned me from active duty. So
that's right. Because chaplains have to be endorsed by their denomination in order to be on active duty, right?
That's right. Without it, you can't stay in.
Well, there's more to discuss about our military, and John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with Air Force vet and chaplain Jonathan Dobbs. John, we talked about your experience and what you went through in the Air Force with the COVID thing. And you certainly have got the credentials. But I want to move on, because you are in leadership for the Committee to Support and Defend.
Yes,
sir. That's an awesome group. Will you discuss your role and the committee's mission, its goals? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the project director for the Committee to Support and Defend. And so I just kind of lead the effort in a way, but a lot of veterans have passion for a lot of things that are going on right now. So our vision is, you know, we're veterans leading Americans in the defense of our freedom. And so one of the main mission tasks is to provide a voice for our active duty and to mobilize veterans as they continue to honor their oath to support and defend the Constitution. And so that takes a lot of different paths, if it makes sense. But the way we were kind of born was a little over a year and a half ago, year ago, there was a letter that went out from the Flag Officers of America. This was kind of written and drafted by a guy named General Joe Arbuckle. And so when that happened, the letter he drafted was one of our nation in peril. And he started to list reasons. And about 120 flag officers signed that letter. And when they had signed that letter, a lot of people like me who aren't general officers and who are enlisted were like, hey, what about us? And so Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and a number of other people came together, drafted a similar letter for the Committee to Support and Defend. And we had about 11,000 signatures on there. And so that's kind of how the committee was born.
Okay. And specifically, what's the mission? If I join, if listeners join, what are we joining? And what are you asking us to do?
Well, there's a number of guiding principles we're trying to be involved in. We're trying to get veterans, their voice heard and mobilized on things like protecting our border, on things like energy dependence, fighting things like the vaccine mandates and crisis tyrants. We're pushing for fair and honest elections. We're also trying to push against things like Marxism, which has infiltrated not only the culture, but the military, and things like China. You know, we still are considering China as a competitor and not a foe. And so these are different issues, to include the censorship and the rule of law that has been almost abandoned in our country. We are trying to help veterans get mobilized in those different ways, to include in local elections in their local communities. Does that make sense?
It sure does. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking about supporting our country with John Dobbs. Okay, so if I check in with you, what specifically will you encourage me to do? What kinds of things and what tools will you provide or direct me towards?
Well, I would say specifically that, like, I think in military terms of the 10-meter target, I talked to my father-in-law about this a lot. Right now, we have the elections coming up for the Congress in November, and there's a lot of people who are running for office locally for the legislature. We're trying to get people involved in poll working and poll watching and involved in their local communities, you know, because a lot of these different, like if you have school boards or if you have the county commissioner, the city commissioner, and as well as election, the supervisor of elections, all of them have meetings each week. And people can go to those meetings and people can be involved in different ways. And some of them don't require a lot of time. But we're trying to get veterans, specifically with core values, to get eyes on the target on these elections so that we don't have any more shenanigans.
So you're suggesting that as an American citizen, I have some responsibility towards ensuring that I have a good government? I'm not
Absolutely.
Just supposed to sit back and relax and let somebody else worry about it?
Absolutely. I think the struggle that we're having in this point in our republic, our constitutional republic, is we have leadership that has been elected by we the people, and they are not necessarily making choices and voting for things that are for the good of the people. And so we just have to safeguard that, and we have to be involved in that, even though we're busy. Does that make sense?
It's sort of like if you have a car, you actually have to change the oil or it won't keep running. You've got a country, you've actually got to be concerned about it, how it runs, and make sure that there's proper input to it, or it won't work right. That's sort of logical, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think that the hard part is if we don't safeguard these things and get involved in some ways that are intentional, we may not have this constitutional republic where we have freedom and democracy for too much longer. I'm doing this myself because I have kids and grandkids, and I want them to live in a free America just like I did. And we've got to get involved. And it's going to look very different for, say somebody who's retired versus someone like me in the workforce, or maybe a kid in high school. But we, just like when we went to war in World War II, everybody has a place at the table and can help in this effort to maintain freedom.
That's true. And the best place to get started is locally, in your city, county, state, township, whatever school district, whatever it is, get involved. I've been involved with politics for some time, and politicians are just people. Hopefully they're good people. But unless somebody's holding them accountable, it's too easy to rationalize doing something not quite like you would like to do. But if there are people like you and I calling them or shooting them an email once a week or once a month saying, how are you voting on this? How did this come out? It's easier as a human being, if you're being held accountable, to stick to your values. And we can do that. But if we aren't doing it, oops. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that a lot of people feel in this era that, you know, there's this era of apathy. They feel like their vote may not count like it did in times past. But the reality is if we have enough people at either, you know, a city council meeting or a school board meeting, or even at the, a situation where we're trying to talk to one of our congressmen, they take notice of those things. We're seeing prime ministers even step down in different countries right now as a result of we the people saying, hey, we don't want this. We want to do this in a civil way, but this is not right. And that, you know, leads to another thing. You know, we also are involved in things like protecting military votes. A lot of our deployed people overseas, they have to send in their votes through the mail. We want to make sure that people of character and veterans are counting those votes when they come into the precinct, and that they're not counted as provisional votes, because that can happen. The Committee of Support and Defend is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're nonpartisan. But we also have a side of us that is Committee to Support and Defend Action, which is a 501c4. And so they're involved in things like changing and public policy initiatives, for the Congress, for lawmakers, legislatures to create pro-constitutional legislation. So when you join the Committee to Support and Defend for $17.75 a year, that's the year that the Marines, the Navy, and the Army came together for the first time. Once a year, if you sign up for that, you can help push some of these public policy initiatives through CSD action as well to make some difference.
That makes sense. It's just totally logical that if we, the people, don't get involved, don't keep track of what our elected officials are doing and what the appointed people are doing, it can fall apart. And indeed, that is what's happening right now. And we've got to get it put back together again. And if not you, then who? If not now, then when? That's a pretty good old statement, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think we need to unify. You know, there's a lot of things that are causing disunity, but we need each other in this because we're Americans after all. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do is build a network. We're trying to build a movement at Committee to Support and Defend. We want to see freedom and liberty to reign in our culture. And we want people to be able to get involved at different levels. And that's, you know, very important to our purpose is getting veterans so that they can honor the oath that they took a long time ago because it has not expired, you know?
Yes, sir. John, how can listeners learn more about or plug in to join the Committee to Support and Defend?
So if you go on our website, it's committeetosupportanddefend.org. Again, it's committeetosupportanddefend.org. And when you go on there, you know, you can join today. Like I said, it's $17.75 a year to be a member. You can also, my email, if you have any questions, is jdobbs@committeetosupportanddefend.org. Again, jdobbs@committeetosupportanddefend.org. Our phone number is 877-730-2278. If you find something on there that you're interested in, I work indirectly and sometimes hand in hand with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who is well known on different radio programs. He and I do webinars on about a monthly basis. And we have a section called Take Action in some of our letters that people can sign. If you've served in the military, you can go and sign those letters and just kind of put a stake in the ground. But there's a lot of things to get involved with there with liberty and freedom issues as a veteran.
That's awesome. John, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation while you're in uniform, but especially for what you're doing now. I'm proud to call you a friend. I'll be working with you.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And if you or anyone in your family are struggling with some of the things that are going on in our culture, whether it's the tyranny things or the vaccine mandates or whatever, have them send me an email, give me a phone call, and we'll try to help as any way we can.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with co-host Skip Coriel about his latest book, Self-Defense. Then we'll meet Army National Guard Brigadier General Gary Ropers. Then it'll be time for the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com. Save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for Jumpin' Jacks. Do 50 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.